Do the children want to come up for a children's homily? And you guys can help me with a problem I have. I have a problem. I have two strings here, and what I want to do, I need a longer string than these two. So I was thinking if some way to make these strings longer, you think if I just hold them together like this, and they hang side by side, that they'll become one string? I hold it long enough? No, that's not going to work. All right. Well, what if I just kind of twist them up together, huh? If I just kind of twist them up like this and get them all tangled and think that'll make one string? Is that good? It doesn't hold, does it? Well, what about if I lay them like this and I tie a knot in this string? All right, now let's see. And then I need to tie a knot in this other string as well. Put the two together, and now it's one string, right? Because I've spliced them together with two knots. Now, this is like friendship. Because when two people, two friends, commit themselves to each other to be true and lasting friends, then it creates one, they create one unit. One long unit of friendship, but it takes both people to commit to tie these knots to make this become one. And now Jesus is our very close and dear friend, and he has completely committed himself to us. And so then the question comes, are we going to commit ourselves to him? And then we become one with Jesus, and a strong bond is between us. Okay? And I'm going to talk in just a minute when you go back to your parents about a set of friends in the Old Testament named David and Jonathan. So listen carefully. We're going to learn a lot about friendship today, okay? All right, going back to your seats. Thank you so much. God bless you. So the gospel today, Jesus comes across as being just a tad bit harsh, doesn't he? Someone comes up and says, I want to follow you. I'll go with you everywhere. And Jesus says, I have no home. I'm homeless. I have no place to lay my head. Another one says, I'll go follow you, but first I need to go bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. He's a little harsh, isn't he? Well, Jesus is calling his disciples to total, complete, and immediate commitment to him. And there are a couple of ways to see this harshness that we see in Jesus. First, remember in the very beginning of the passage, it says Jesus was resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. Now, in another gospel, it says he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. Jesus musters all the will and determination he has to go to Jerusalem, because he knows what waits for him there. He is going to Jerusalem to suffer pain, ridicule, rejection, loneliness. He is going to suffer and die for us in Jerusalem. And so all of his will and determination is focused. And so people are coming to him and saying, hey, I want to follow you, Jesus. This looks like a good party. And he's pointing out, this is not the party you think it is. This is going to take commitment and determination to follow me. And another thing to realize is that Jesus knows what's next. He knows that the Roman army, very shortly, in just a few short years, is going to come and going to completely lay waste the entire nation of Israel, completely destroy everything. So all those things that the people hold dear, he knows they're going to be taken away from them. And so he's telling them, leave that out, leave that behind. It's going to be gone anyway. Focus on what's eternal and come to what's eternal with total, complete, and immediate commitment. That reminds me, think of total commitment. That reminds me of a story. I think this might relate. There was a young man who was about to go to college, and he had this picture of his very beautiful girlfriend, you know, his high school sweetheart. And He thought, well, I'm going to go off to college. I think I want a copy of this picture to take with me when I go. So I'll have one here at home and one in my college dorm. So he took it to Walgreens. And Walgreens, you know, give it to the Photoshop. They got the little Photoshop there in the corner. And he says, you know, I want to have a copy of this. And so the clerk says, sure, no problem. So he took the photo, and he's taking the picture out of the frame so he can copy it, right? And as he's doing this, he notices there's some writing on the back. And being a curious sort of guy, he reads it. And the writing says, "Dear Tom, I love you with all my heart. You are the best thing that has ever happened to me. I will love you forever. Signed, all my love, Jill. P.S. If I ever break up with you, I want this picture back." Because too often that's the way we face commitment, isn't it? Yeah, I'll commit to you today, but we'll see what tomorrow brings. You know, a lot of times we approach the church like that, right? I'm committed to get to Mass every day, but if someone gives me Chiefs tickets, I sure don't want to miss the tailgating, right? When I was a youth pastor at Robert Bellarmine, before I became a priest, and I was dealing with the kids, and I would say, hey, you know, let's do something fun. Let's go to a water park, or let's go do a lake day, and, you know, rent a pontoon and just go out and have a lot of fun. And we had a big youth group, about 60 kids, and I said, who wants to go? And everybody said, yeah, I want to go. That sounds like fun. I said, okay, so what I need you to do is get your parents to sign a permission slip and give me $20 to buy the tickets, because it takes, you know, money to do these things. And so I said, you know, just give me, you know, $20 and a permission slip by such and such a date so that I can make reservations. Well, that date would come and go, and nobody would do anything. I wouldn't get slips. I wouldn't get money. Nobody would, you know, commit to going. So I had to cancel. Then the day of the event would come, and they would all be saying, oh, where are we going? What, you know, when are we meeting? What's happening? And I'd say, I have to cancel because nobody committed to go. And they would say, well, we were just waiting to see if something better came along. And that's the way we do. We want to wait and see if something better comes along. Jesus doesn't want us to live our life with him that way. Jesus calls for our total, complete, and immediate commitment to him. Because he knows that whatever we grow entangled with in this life, number one, is probably going to lead us to more frustration than joy, and number two, is going to go away. Now, this afternoon, I have a funeral of someone from the Our Lady of Hope community, and that just really drives home the reality that everything we entangle ourselves in right now is going to go away. What's going to last for eternity is our total and complete commitment to Christ, to our family, and to our friends. This brings up a story that I promised the kids I was going to say, right? There was a story from the Old Testament, and you probably know it well. There was a king named Saul. He was actually the first king of Israel. And his son was named Jonathan, his oldest son, and so it was destined for the kingship to pass from Saul to Jonathan. However, Saul displeased God. Saul became proud and arrogant. And God said, no, I need a king who is after my own heart, one that is humble and desires to shepherd the people, not one who is arrogant and desires to rule over people. And so God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint David to be the next king. When King Saul heard about this, he was incensed. He was furious because it was his determination that his son Jonathan would become king. But Jonathan and David were friends. They were close friends. The scripture says that Jonathan loved David. And Jonathan and David had formed a close bond of relationship with one another. And so when Saul was trying to kill everybody that was associated with David, and David said to Jonathan, I think your dad is trying to kill me. And Jonathan said, no, my dad would never do that. He's not a bad guy. He's my father. He's a good guy. He wouldn't do that. Jonathan and David says, I don't know. It looks to me like things are going bad. So Jonathan says, well, you hide out here and I'll go ask my dad, see what's going on. So Jonathan went back to his dad, King Saul, and said, hey, Dad, how are things between you and David? And his king, the king, Saul, his father, got in angry and said, you and David are conspiring against me. I know you love David more than you love me. And Saul tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, because he was so angry that God had anointed David to be the next king. So Jonathan went to David and said, you need to run away, hide, flee, find some place to hide because my dad is after you with the whole army. And Jonathan said, you are my friend. I commit myself to you. You will be king and I will serve you. And Jonathan was not just a good, loyal friend to David. He was a loyal son, and he stood by his father, fought alongside his father, and he and his father were killed in battle on the same day. And David then became king. But there was a unique commitment that Jonathan and David had towards one another, that commitment of friendship. And that friendship bound them together. I know I have a very, very dear friend, and I imagine you do too. I've known this guy since we were both 2 years old. We grew up together in Henderson, Texas. You're going to have to get a big map to find Henderson, Texas. We grew up together in Henderson, Texas, and we were the closest of friends and still are to this day. I would do anything for him. He would do anything for me, because that bond of friendship brings us into commitment to one another, doesn't it? Friendship brings commitment. And when Jesus calls us to be totally, completely, and immediately committed to Him, it's not because He's a divine judge that has laid out these rules, and if we break these rules, He's going to punish us. That's not why we commit ourselves to Jesus. We commit ourselves to Jesus because He is our friend, our close and dear friend. Jesus said to the apostles, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. And you know, after the resurrection, we all know the story. Jesus is at the lakeside and the apostles are all out fishing. And Jesus calls from the shore of the lake. And what does he call the apostles? First word out of his mouth, friends. Friends, have you caught anything? Because Jesus is our close and dear friend. It's out of that love of friendship. It's out of that love of friendship that Jesus gave everything to us. He gave his life. He suffered the ridicule and the pain and the rejection of his passion to purchase for us eternal life so we would not have to suffer death, so that we could live with he and his Father forever. And he calls us to join in that friendship. It took two knots to splice the two ropes together, right? And it takes two knots to splice our hearts to Jesus. Jesus is completely committed to us. The question is, are we completely committed to him?